Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, all of you, for being a part of the worship time so far this morning. I'll have you take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. You see the title of what I'm preaching on this morning from Proverbs 31. You know, there are some passages in the Bible that pastors are uncomfortable preaching about, okay? Like tithing. That seems to be one that we don't like to talk about that one, okay? Or passages that talk about the pastor and how the church should treat the pastor, how he's worthy of double honor and respect and submission to the elders and those that rule over you, and submit to them in such a way that when they stand before God, they can recall your name with fondness and not with, oh, I remember that time. Whoa. We're not supposed to submit to those in authority in that way. And that's one of those passages that pastors are like, well, maybe if I have a guest speaker in here sometime, he'll preach on that or something like that. Why do we have a time or struggle with certain passages in God's word? Because, well, it's all God's word, isn't it? That makes it all good. But there are, in today's day and age, certain outside ways of thinking, certain outside events, things that have happened in our past, in our histories, that makes us kind of cringe away from these things, certain things in the Bible. And I would say this is one of them. Because of our culture that we live in, as far as men and women being equal and equal rights and the feminist movement, which is a real movement, okay, a real mindset or way of thinking, that, I don't know if I want to preach on this one. So I actually looked through Proverbs 31, because in all the other Proverbs that I've covered, there's lots of different Proverbs in each chapter. But Proverbs 31 is all about this one thing. So I kind of can't avoid it. I mean, it would have been obvious, right? If I went from Proverbs 30 to Isaiah chapter 42 today, you would have known I bailed on this one. I can't do it. So because I think we need to learn the whole word of God, but we need to learn it in balance. And that's what I want to emphasize before I start this morning. As if you're familiar with Proverbs 31, and you've read through it at all, if you're a lady, you've read through it thinking, wow, that is some fearsome creature to behold there. Whoa. If you're a guy, you're thinking, whoa, that is some fearsome creature to behold. It's like, who could do this type of thing? Let's keep it in balance, okay? Because God is not putting before us something that is not attainable. And he doesn't just do this for women. There's a godly man example too. Principles in God's word that men should be striving for. And let's put this into perspective here. All throughout Proverbs, Solomon has been repeatedly warning about the strange woman. Maybe you recall seeing that woman mentioned in Proverbs, a strange woman, and her characteristics and her mannerisms all throughout Proverbs. But now he ends the book with a tribute to the spiritually mature, godly woman that is in stark contrast to the strange woman that he's been warning about. And just so we know and understand something here, the advice that he gives here is not from that of a man who's looking for the perfect creature. So, ladies, please, let's not, it sounds like something a man would come up with. Well, I could write a Proverbs 32 for men. Yeah, just let me and some of my friends get together. We'll bang this out over Facebook and we'll get her done by the end of the day, right? Okay, I want to be careful how I say this. Solomon didn't write Proverbs 31. Ultimately, God wrote it. And yes, Solomon penned it. But I wonder if we've ever paid attention to and noticed the fact that the words that Solomon put in this proverb, the picture he painted, all of the characteristics of this beautiful, godly creature, all came from his mother, or his grandmother, actually. No, his mother taught him these characteristics of a godly, spiritually mature woman. Let's look at verse 1, Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, that would be Solomon, the prophecy that his mother taught him. This is not the description of a chauvinistic, sexist male pig, okay? These came from a godly, spiritually mature woman. And she instructs Solomon about, first of all, the worth of a mature wife. I'm going to say mature wife, not the perfect wife. There's no such thing. Amen? Everyone's nervous, okay? It's okay to say amen because there's no such thing as the perfect man. Amen? I'm glad more men said amen to that. We know we're not, okay? Now, we're going to look at the worth of a mature wife. If you look with me at our key verse, verse 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. And what Solomon is saying is that a spiritually mature, godly woman is worth more than any amount of money. He passes over all of the superficial attractions which men sometimes consider to be so important. Their charm, their personality, their looks, their popularity. You know, all of those important factors that we consider when we're young teenage men, right? Because that's all that matters. He says all of those things are deceitful. They can deceive. Verse 30, in fact, of Proverbs 31, it tells us that beauty is vain. It has no substance. So Solomon goes deeper with the teachings of his mother. The characteristics are the fear of the Lord. If you look with me in verse 30, Proverbs 31, 30, it says, favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, this phrase, fear the Lord, the woman that fears the Lord, it means this, a reverential trust of God. Reverent trust of God. Along with a hatred of evil. Paul referenced that concept in Romans when he said, when he was describing those people, the world, the unsaved, in the beginning of Romans. He said there was no fear of God among them. So they didn't have a reverential trust of God, and they didn't have a hatred of that which was evil. When there is no reverential trust in God, and there isn't a hatred of evil, which we're going that direction, folks, hatred of evil, people become depraved. Paul saw it in the time of the Romans. When he wrote Romans, he saw it then. Nothing's changed. Psalm 111, verse 10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the quality of a woman that lasts when the superficial stuff has faded. They are what would be known as a wise woman. Second characteristic is the favor of the Lord. We see that also in verse 30. Let me back that up there. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised by the Lord. The favor of the Lord, not the favor of everyone else, because that favor is deceitful. This is the favor of the Lord. When a person has the favor of the Lord, there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that person's life. Let me kind of back that up again. We understand that our sin quenches the Holy Spirit, quenches the power of the Holy Spirit on our life. And when there is sin in our life, whether we're male or female, that Spirit's power is quenched and can't work through us. And that's why Paul warns us in the New Testament, don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit with our sin. So if we have a woman who is spiritually mature, she's not quenching the Spirit, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on that person's life. When Jesus emerged from the waters of baptism, when John the Baptist baptized him, the Bible says the windows were opened like the windows of heaven were opened, and there was a voice that declared, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Do you remember what happened next? It says the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. There was a picturesque demonstration of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When Paul writes to husbands and wives in Ephesians concerning married life and behavior within married life, that'd be important. That'd be interesting for you to go back and read through that passage sometime. The context is about married life. And within that context, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because there's this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our life within the context of a marriage. Wouldn't that make things better? Absolutely it would. When things aren't better in our marriage, the Holy Spirit's not there. God's not at the center. Nothing is more beautiful and more charming than a woman who is filled with the Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. When Dale Evans and Roy Rogers, let's do this. Raise your hand if you don't know who they are. Okay, all right. Younger people, you don't know who they are. Okay, some do. Dale Evans and Roy Rogers, they were appearing one time on the Merv Griffin show. I don't even know what that is, folks. I think it's like an old Johnny Carson show, maybe, like before that even, back in the black and white TV days, I guess. I don't know. They were asked, when they were on that show, they were asked an unusual question. Here was the question. What is it about you Christians that give you a certain shine? Imagine that being asked on television today. Not a chance. But that was the question they were asked. What is it about you Christians that give you a certain shine? And Dale Evans, she answered this. If there is any shine to be seen, it's the Spirit of Jesus, not of ourselves. That's just what we've been talking about. She said, we are simply earthen vessels offered for his use. We are faulty. We are vulnerable. That means we're not perfect. The brightness of any shine depends on our willingness to turn up our wick of availability for greater spiritual flame. She had it right. She proclaimed on national television just what we're talking about here as far as being filled with the Spirit, having the favor of God on our life. Solomon's mother then instructed him with this, as far as the work of a mature wife. We've gone from the worth to the work of the mature wife. Okay, here's where every man's going to be taking notes. Don't do that. Okay, listen, hey, listen, guys, if any of your wives come to me this week and tell me how you use this against them, I'll be pulling out my godly man message next Sunday, okay? And we'll just do equal time here on this. And ladies, if you come to me this week and make it up, just so I'll do that, okay? We're going to go back to this one next week. Anyway, the work of a mature wife. Proverbs 31:31. Here's what it says. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. There are four areas of work. But before I look at that, let's have that. The verse is still up there. Give her of the fruit of her hands. That means she should benefit from her labors. She should be allowed to benefit from the work that she puts in at home. Guys, okay? She should be allowed to benefit from that. And I know we put in our work during the day, don't we? And we come home and we occupy the throne, the lazy boy throne, okay? With the remote. We want the meal brought to us. Keep the kids quiet. Give them their bath. I need to relax and rest up for my work tomorrow. She'd been working all day. She should be allowed to earn the fruit of her hands and be able to enjoy things as well in that regard. So Proverbs, Solomon addresses four areas of work here. The first one of this is this, service to her husband. Now, at the end, okay, there's a few things I want to say, hopefully to keep all of this in context. God presents things to us balanced. And in order to begin to go through Proverbs 31 and not lose anyone, we're going to be here for 4 hours balancing it. Ladies, guys, here's what God says to ladies, guys. We got to keep it balanced as we go through, okay? Trust God's word. Okay, and I'll say more about that at the end. Service to her husband. Proverbs 35, service to her husband. I had an S on the end of husband there. Sorry about that. Verse 11, it says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, this can be summed up this way. Love and loyalty. We don't need to make anything more of it other than that. Love and loyalty. The greatest service that she can give her husband. Love and loyalty. In return, there is trust. As it says there in verse 11, the husband trusts in her. Trusts in her. So he's not paranoid, schizophrenic, when she's not with him and she's out and about, or he calls her and she doesn't answer, and right away he's paranoid. What's going on? Or he sees her talking to that guy bagging groceries at Kroger. What's going on there? He's not paranoid, okay? He trusts her. Verse 12 adds that she will do him good and not evil. Now, a man who will not treasure that doesn't deserve the honor and privilege of married life. If a man doesn't treasure that, now, we may all know someone in our past whose wife wasn't trustworthy and loyal, right? Thank God that you have a trustworthy and loyal wife. Now, that's not necessarily a marriage killer. There's lots of marriage killers, okay? And there's not one worse than the other. But if you have a wife that it loves and is loyal, that's a treasure. And we should treasure that treasure, should we not? Second area is this, service to her family. Solomon's mother advised him on this. In verse 28, he writes her advice. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. So in some regard, the way she interacts with her family, for her family, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her father, her husband, does the same thing also, okay? She's not the old lady, the ball and chain. That's really bothersome. Because if you have a wife who loves you and is loyal to you, and you refer to her as that, you don't deserve that. her husband rises up also and calls her blessed. And in order for that to happen, this person, this lady would need to be a Christ-honoring example with Bible-centered instruction in her home and Spirit-anointed discipline. Proverbs expands on all of that in there. No mother can live in this way without the blessing of Lord of God being on her family. If a mother is doing those things, God's going to bless her family. It's unavoidable. J.C. Penney, the Mr. J.C. Penney from the store chain, when he was being honored once as Churchman of the Year by the Religious Heritage of America. This took place in Washington, D.C. This has been a while ago, folks, because I don't think you'd see this today. He remarked this. He said, "All that I am and ever will be, I owe to my saintly Christian mother." Ladies, you have no idea the impact, the influence. We've been talking about influence on Wednesday nights. You have no idea the impact that you have on your children. Even more so than dad. Dads, our way of influencing children mostly is do it. Right? Because I said so. Mothers just have this softer way of influencing their children. And a spiritually mature, godly woman is going to influence them in the direction of God's word. Here's the third area that Solomon's mother advised him in, and that is in the wife's service to her household. Now, there's seven verses here in this section. It goes from 13 to verse 19. We don't have enough time to look at them all, so let's just summarize them. Her service to her household. There's three dominant characteristics that are in these verses. Energy, efficiency, and economy. Moms, mothers, wives, how many of you wake up in the morning and feel energized, efficient, and economical? That's tough. That is tough. I just spent a Saturday at home. I didn't have anything to do here at church. I was looking for something. I spent a whole day with my grandsons. Wow. I bow down to women. They're amazing because they do that all the time, right? Energy, efficiency, and economy. There is no laziness here, but busyness. Spiritually mature, godly woman is not going to be a lazy woman. Now, balance that, okay? God has strong rebukes for lazy men. He says if they don't work, they shouldn't even eat, right? That's what Christ said. There's no laziness here. It's busyness. There's no piles of stuff building up in the corners of the rooms and the countertops. You don't need new countertops because you can't even see the ones you've got, right? They're so piled up with stuff. That's not present with this person. There's tidiness. There's no wastefulness of household finances, but rather there's a thriftiness. There's budgeted planning. It's all very intentional. Here's the fourth area. Service to her neighbors. Proverbs talks about that. Again, there's six verses here, 20 through 25, so we'll just summarize them. Her attitude is one of friendliness to her neighbors. Who's your neighbor? By the way, who's your neighbor? Is it the person next door to you? Well, those of you that live in the country, praise the Lord, you don't have to listen to this. Oh, no. Our neighbor is those people that we run and bump into during our week. Okay? It's not just a person living next door to us. It's the person that we're bumping into at the grocery store, the lady checking us out, or guy, the gas station, the person next to us on the street. It's all these people around us that we would say is our circle of influence. Okay? Even if we don't talk to them, we can still influence them. Service to her neighbors. It's an attitude of friendliness to those people. Friendliness. Can I ask you, does that mark you? Would you be considered friendly to your neighbors around you? Oh, I forgot a neighbor. This is going to throw some of us for a curve here. We have Facebook neighbors, don't we? Does friendliness characterize you on Facebook when you're talking about your neighbors on Facebook? Is that a characteristic of you? Her attitude is of helpfulness to her neighbors. How she behaves in public doesn't negatively impact her husband. I've been in restaurants before, and I've seen some women get upset and start yelling at the waiter or the owner or different things like that. And my thought was, oh man, their poor husband. I'm like, wow, that's just a bad testimony even. How we act in public, and that goes for all of us, folks. How we act in public negatively impacts the other person in our duo. Now, a third area that Solomon's mother instructed him in is the words of a mature wife. Okay, now, again, I'm trying to keep us all in together on here. These principles apply to all of us in here, okay? Solomon is giving these words to contrast to a strange woman that he spent the whole rest of the book warning us about. Proverbs 31:26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. This is the final test of a noble, spiritually mature woman. Not the perfect woman, just spiritually mature. It's her words. Paul warns Timothy about those, referring to ladies, okay? And I know some guys do this too, but Paul specifically warned Timothy about those that wander from house to house to house to house, blah, 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 blah. Did you hear about? Did you hear about? And then go to the next house. Did you hear about this? And then go to the next house. Well, I just heard, did you? Da-da, 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 da-da. Okay. Paul warns Timothy about those as he's giving Timothy instructions, this pastor with his flock, with his congregation. Hey, you need to be concerned about this. I need to warn you about this because it happens. And it's bad for the church. And it's bad for homes. They go from house to house to house. Now, that's all Paul told Timothy about. But that was only because they didn't have phones then. If they did, he would also included phones. Phone call to phone call to phone call to phone call. But they didn't have texting either. But if they did, he would have also included text to text to text to text. Post to post to post. Saying things. Here's what he warned Timothy. Those that go from house to house saying things that they ought not to be saying. They shouldn't be talking about those things. And he had to warn Timothy about that. And we have to warn ourselves about that now. A spiritually mature, godly woman. The words of a mature wife is, she's not going to be doing this. She opens her mouth. There's words of wisdom. There's the law of kindness on her tongue. And here's the final test. The substance of her conversational life. And I say that's kind of the final test, because we're told in the New Testament that the words come from our heart. Nothing is more refreshing and inspiring and edifying than to listen to a woman who has something substantial to say. Now, I know a lot of times in the movies, okay, I'm not being sexist or gender specific here, but generally in the movies, there's the typical airhead blonde, and she's like, da-da-da-da-da, and for real, and like, really, and like, totally, and she like said, and he said, and then he goes, and she goes, and da-da-da-da-da-da, for 10 minutes straight, and when she's all done, she hasn't said a thing. No substance at all. Now, that's a movie depiction maybe of an extreme, but you kind of understand what's saying here, what is being said here. A woman that has something substantial to say. It's not gossipy. It's not about someone else. It's not shallow. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Friends, let's just apply this to all of us right now. Consider your friends, those that you associate with, you converse with, you hang, you chill with, whatever, drink coffee with, those that you have conversations with. Think about them. How many of them spend most of their time talking with you about someone else? Paul warned Timothy, these things ought not to be. And Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what's in their heart. Now that we've looked at everyone else in our circle of friends, look at ourselves. How much of what we say is about other people to other people? Right? And I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said it on a Sunday morning. One of your friends, they're always talking to you about someone else, and you love it. Because you get caught up on everything that's going on in everyone's life, you know, life according to my friend anyway. And just remember this, because this is true. If your friend, let's say your friend's name is Jill or Bob, if Jill or Bob will talk to you about someone else, Jill or Bob is going to talk to someone else about you. How much time do you want to spend with that person as they're filling you in with all the details, because they're going to take all your details and share them with other people? And you know it happens. So what do? Two things. We can like brand that person with a scarlet letter G on their forehead, gossiper. Or if they are our friend, as soon as they start dumping on you about someone else, you say, hey, stop. I know I've never done this to you before, and I need to ask your apology, because I have never, ever stopped you from doing this. It was wrong for me as your friend to not stop you from sinning. But this is wrong. God says that gossiping is wrong, and I want to try to help you with that. And so every time you start talking to me about someone else, I'm going to stop you. I hope that I'll stop you. Because it's wrong, and I can't keep letting you go down that road, because I'm your friend and I love you and I care about you and I want to lead you to Jesus. Whew. Now, one of two things is going to happen if you do that. They're going to stop gossiping to you, or they're just going to stop talking to you. Either way, your problem solved. See? You're not going to be getting dumped on. And since they're not talking to you anymore, they don't have anything about you to talk to someone else about. Could be a good thing. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If it's shallow, it's gossipy. If that is what's coming out, that speaks to what's in the heart. Compared to a woman who satisfies her heart on Christ's word, that's what she fills her heart with. Satisfies her heart with the church and its work. She's talking about Christ. She's talking about the word of God. She's talking about the church, what's going on at church. how God created nature and all the wonders. That's what's in her heart. And all of those things are in her heart. Christ, his word, his church, the work of his church, God's created nature and the wonders. If all of that is in the heart, guess what's going to come out? All of that is what's going to come out. Such a woman will never open her mouth without speaking wisdom. Such a woman or man, for that matter. I don't know what it is. Men can be real gossipy sometimes. And I don't know if it's gotten worse over the years, but men can be really gossipy. If you just stroll through McDonald's or a restaurant sometime in the morning and you see them all sitting around drinking their coffee. Oh, manly man. Well, did you know what she said? And he said this. I couldn't believe my boss. I'm like, what? You left your skirt at home or something. I don't know. When did men start talking like that? Priscilla in the New Testament. She must have been a woman like this. Because it tells us in the New Testament, Priscilla, she was able to take the preacher, Apollos, okay? She took this preacher aside and the Bible says, instructed him on the way of God more accurately. There's a woman with wisdom. Was that wrong for her to do that? A woman telling a man? Absolutely not. There's nothing in the Bible that says that's wrong. Priscilla was that kind of woman. She had such wisdom to offer that the pastor could even learn from her. Her words are not just of wisdom, though. Number two, the spirit of her conversational life. It said in Proverbs 31:26, on her tongue is the law of wisdom, or the law of kindness, okay? The spirit of her words is that of kindness. Now, the ESV, the English Standard Version, it puts it this way. I think it puts it a little more clear. It says, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Solomon tells us, Proverbs 18:21, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So it matters not only what a person says, but how they say it. That's the law of love, okay? That's the spirit of what she's saying. What is the spirit of our words in our home? What's the spirit? How does what we say at home sound? And would we say it if we were in the church lobby the same way? What are the words that we use in our homes? Are they words of kindness covered in this attitude of love? Words that we use with our children, ladies, with our husband? How about with our neighbors and even the person that messed up our pick up and go order at Walmart or Kroger? Okay. We're checking on you, Jason. All right. The words that we use and how we say things to people at church. Elizabeth Elliot, she says that a real woman gets her role from the Bible. During the Middle Ages, most people were illiterate. They couldn't read. So there were traveling groups of actors, actually, that went around and they acted out these little mini plays, these mini dramas. And the drama was about theology. They acted out these mini plays to teach people theology about God. They were kind of like a Christian drama team that went around because people couldn't read. They would act out theology. That was how people learned about God when no one could read. the actors, every actor was cast in their roles, okay? They had a role to play. Whether they liked it or not, that was the role they had to play. Do you remember? Oh, well, you wouldn't remember this. But from what I understand, years and years ago, just men were actors. Which, yeah, it was a little uncomfortable when you had a female part, right? So they would cast a man into the role of playing his female part. And he would have to look the part and talk the part and act the part as much as a man could, okay? But that's, whether he wanted to or not, that was the role he was cast in. And why did he do it? Because the director casted him in that role. That's the role he was to play. And he played his role. And he was a good actor if he played his role to the best of his ability. And so there were these traveling troops that went around and taught theology that way. They performed their roles based on the dictates of their roles. The role said, we need a middle-aged woman. We need a senior-aged man. And so the man cast in this role, even if he was only 40, he would play the role of a senior-aged man or a young child or whatever the case is, okay? A snob, a drunkard, or whatever the role was, they played that role. There is a play being acted out in our homes. Now, here's where I'm going with the actors and the roles. Elizabeth Elliot said, a real woman gets her role from the Bible. There's a play being acted out in our homes. The characters have already been cast in our homes. The director, God, in my home, casted me as the husband, or what he calls the head of the home, not dictator, just the head. And he put this other soul into the body of a woman that I call Kathy, and casted her in the role of wife and mother. Okay, that's her role. We had two children. They were put into this play called My Home, and they were cast as children, and they all had dictates put on their roles that they had to play, according to what the director says. It's the same way in all of our homes. We don't get to decide what is best for us because of our temperaments and our personalities, our likes and our dislikes, whether we'll lead or whether we're going to follow, whether we will initiate or whether we're going to respond. We don't get to decide that. The director has already decided that in the cast manual, if you will. The husband, the head of the home, is to lead. It doesn't matter what his personality is or whether he wants to or not or how tired he is. He comes home from work. He needs to lead. He needs to get off the couch and go to work. He comes home. He needs to lead as husband, as father. The wife has her role that she needs to follow the dictates followed by God or put forth by God's word. Again, it doesn't matter what our temperaments and personalities are, whether we want to lead, whether we want to follow or don't want to follow. It doesn't matter. Each person in the home, in the context of our passage here, each woman will decide if she's going to fulfill her role or not. Now, I want you to consider this. We have young people here that are involved in the plays and stuff at school. Can you imagine how would the play go if you all had your roles, okay? And then the night of the performance, everyone just kind of did what they wanted. That would be chaotic. There's a story to be told by that play that they're probably working on right now for the spring, I guess. I don't know. There's a story. There's a storyline. There's a theme to that play. And the point of that play is to put forth that storyline. So the director casts all these people in the roles so they can put forth the truth, the storyline. But if everyone does what they want, the storyline's not proclaimed. Our homes is a stage. There's a play being acted out. God created it. It's called marriage, and he created marriage for us to display to the world a picture of God's love for his people, his love and forgiveness and patience and tenderness and mercy. And if everyone inside the home on that stage decides, well, I'm just going to do what I want, we're not putting out the right message. So Proverbs 31 has a place. It's not a place of subjecting women or holding women down. It's letting them know the role that God has for us to play so we can proclaim his truth and his message in this world. How do you measure up to this picture in Proverbs? Will you take up the challenge and begin intentionally working to become a woman after God's own heart? Now, men, will you lead in this pursuit? Wait a minute, this is all about women. What are you talking to me for? Hold on. As the head of the home, okay? Not a dictator, but the head. It's kind of like a business, and you manage the business, right? You manage a McDonald's, let's say, and you've got all these people working for you, all kinds of temperaments and personalities, okay? And so it's kind of like the same way at home, only you don't have, you know, 37 kids working for you, high school kids that all want Friday night off, right? But you're managing this restaurant. You have all these people beneath you. You're not their boss. You are to manage the restaurant. And if everyone beneath you does what they're supposed to do, you look good and the owner gives you a bonus, let's say. But if they don't do what they're supposed to do, you have grief and aggravation and customers walk out and they don't come back and sales drop, the owner's not happy and you get fired. So as a manager, it is in your best interest to work with those employees and help them become better employees. That's what your role as a manager is, to help them become a better Proverbs 31. Have you ever thought about that, men? Will you help lead them in this pursuit? And by the way, in the McDonald's, if the floor doesn't get swept and none of the employees want to sweep it, who's going to sweep it? The manager. So I guess it's okay for men to run the sweeper at home or wash dishes. See, that's the way I kind of look at it. Men, all this stuff in the house, and I don't know that anyone here is like this. Maybe. But we all know some men are like, well, that's woman's work. I'm not going to do that. Wrong. That's men's work. I'm responsible to see that it gets done. God's given me a wife as a helpmeet, but it's still my responsibility. And if it ain't getting done, I need to do it. If I want it done, I do it, or I help my helpmeet with this matter. Ladies, we have to decide, you have to decide if you're going to become a woman after God's own heart. Men, we choose today, are we going to help lead them and encourage them in that pursuit? Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your love. Thank you for the truth of this passage. And God, I pray you would help us to just take an honest look at the role that you have cast for woman here. It is the one best suited, God, because you cast that role with those responsibilities. And as men, Lord, if we're married, it's our responsibility to help, to lead, to encourage. I pray, God, that we would look at some of these things that we've considered today. And Lord, if there's someone that struggles with the words that they use, that that would change. They would just confess that. Lord, if we have a friend that falls prey to that, either the type of words or endless, nonstop chatter, that we would help them with that. In Jesus' name, amen.